Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody's stopping the shine. They try to break me, try to pick me up, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought of a die. But ain't no one stronger than the one who came and laid down his life. And I got more to find. But the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long. So be gon' step in and make it alright. Only do it.
Come in, introduce yourself and your location.
All right, let me get started with introducing my two hosts that are available tonight. So far, we're looking for the other two to join us in a minute. We're going to start off from the south part of the state of Alabama to the north part of the state of Alabama. We're going south all the way down from Dothan to Harper, all the way up to Troy and any areas in between to Montgomery, Alabama. We have our favorite radio personality, the coach of the airways, Darryl E. Train Elliott. How you doing, Darryl?
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be on. Glad to be back. Let's get down to the B-I-Z.
Get down to the biz, baby. Let's get down to biz. So we excited. Thank you for having me here, Darryl. So we appreciate you taking time just to be with us tonight. We're going to have an awesome time tonight. This wonderful Wednesday. Now, we're going to travel all the way up to North Alabama. And we're going to highlight the king. That's what he's called, the king. The king of Alabama in that sports area. We're so proud to have him here. And we're going to say that man that has that famous slogan. And everybody just listening to him and stepping back and saying, he must be right. Ain't no fun when the rabbit had the gun. Coach Tremaine Elwood, how are you, Trey?
How y'all doing tonight? How y'all doing tonight? Hot topics, baby. I got some hot stuff, baby. Hot stuff. Glad to be here tonight, though.
Glad to have you as well, Trey. So, you know, we got the B-I-Z down south, and we got the hot topics up north. All right, that's it. The question is, why you want to listen to Talking Sports Plus? Why would you take time? You will, because just talking sports is not enough. We must go way beyond talking sports and include the plus, which is historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. Now, we have some Twitter accounts. If you want to tweet us, and you can tweet each of the co-hosts, and I wanted to give them to you right quick while we have an opportunity to do that. Twitter account for Coach of the Airways, Darryl E. Train Elliott, is at Elliott, E-L-L-I-O-T, Darryl, D-A-R-Y-L, with the number one. And for co-host Tremaine Edwards, you have at Tremaine, T-R-E-M-A-I-N-E, E-D-W-A-R-D, Edwards, with the number seven. And for the show, you have at Talking Sports Plus with the number one. And also our co-host, which is our millennial, we have her, Helen, as well. And Helen is at K-I-W-I underscore D-O-N-T underscore C-A-R-E. All right, team, let's get this thing started because, you know, we've been waiting. We was off for a minute, but we're back at it now. We're really excited about having a chance to get back and share some topics with you. Our title is The Time Is Now. Let's talk real sports. We're going to start off with our coaching corner, and we're going to talk about those Raptors. You know, the Raptors made a power move. They traded off their star for the star of the San Antonio Spurs, which is Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan. That was a trade there with a few other players going along with it. But it's all good, but we want to talk about that now. This trade, does it make the Raptors, who had the best record last year in the Eastern Conference regular season, put them in a position to win the Eastern Conference championship and get them to the NBA Finals? T, what do you think about that with Kawhi Leonard?
Bring it up there.
Well, I'd be the first to tell you, I don't like the move. I don't like the way it looks. And, you know, traditionally, the Raptors have been greatly supported by their team and their fans by the things they have done. But I just – it don't feel good this time, guys. It just doesn't feel good. But it's too early to say. I need to hear from the king.
All right, king.
Tremaine Elvis here. I think it was a good move for both parts. I'm going to say for one part, for Kawhi. Kawhi needed a new change of scenery. He needed a new change of scenery. With Kawhi going to the Raptors. With DeMar DeRozan going to the Spurs, it's like a hit in the face to him because he's looking at all of what he's done for the season, all of what he's done this season for the Raptors and for them to trade him away like that. But it's going to help him in the long run, too. This helps the Spurs. They will continue to be a, I say, mid-range Western Conference team. So they'll be in the 5-6 spot. But it's an even keel right there. Kawhi didn't want to be in San Antonio, so therefore he needed some new scenery. DeMar just was an instant innocent bystander in this, but it's going to help him in the long run. He gets with a couple, to me, a better team. Now, I don't think they will make it far in the West, due to the competition level in the West. He won't make it far, but he is on a better team.
Okay, we're talking pretty much exactly whether the Raptors will have a chance to make it to the Eastern Conference Championship with Kawhi Leonard, but also as the King, as well as Darryl stated, that, you know, it may not be the greatest move, especially for DeMar, because one of the things is that he did kind of have things the way he wanted. He gave 8 to 9 years with the Raptors. So he gave 8 to 9 years. So he just felt like he was slighted just a little bit because he was not informed at that time that he was going to be traded, because he had a conversation 2 days before and he was told that you will not be a part of the trade. And all of a sudden he was traded. Now, let's kind of look at exactly the opportunity. The Raptors still got to deal with those teams in the East. That's Boston, Philadelphia. I'm going to just throw Washington. I'm going to write it down. Milwaukee. Those teams, even with Kawhi being one of the top three players in the world, we have to say, but you still got to deal with those teams. But the question, we'll go back to it. We know it would be good for the Raptors in some sense because they believe by making the move. But then the problem we have is also that Kawhi is still trying to get to L.A. So would they be – is it possible they can convince him to stay in Toronto? Tini, tell me what you think about that. He's up there now. He passed his physical today. So he's now Toronto Raptors. Will they be able to keep him after this year? Or do he just use that as a one-year stop? Tell me what you think about that.
I can be honest with you, man. The way it looks to me, even though it may have been a great move for him to move that way, I think the end game is to get to the next level. And like all superstar basketball players, they want the big dance. So I think that he is on his way, and this is just a stepping stone for him to get there. What say you, the King?
Tremaine that was here. I'm going to say this. I agree totally to you. Right there, Daryl. Now, I really think that he won't be on that East Coast long. Those just are my thoughts. I think Magic Johnson has something up his sleeve, and he's going to pull it out next year. As y'all know, Magic Johnson keeps saying, I'm not concerned with getting everything this year. I can get it this summer and next summer. So something big will happen at the Lakers next summer. I don't know if it's going to be Kawhi or whatnot, but it's a good chance it will be.
And that's awesome because the truth of the matter, he's a real player for 1 year. And that's one of the concerns with everybody else, why Philadelphia was not willing to give even folks up for Kawhi Leonard and their young talent. Boston wasn't willing to do it. The Lakers wasn't willing to do it. But let's look at the positive side. Now, DeRozan said that he was lied to, but he's down there. This might be good for him because it may help him propel to another level. It may not. But for Kawhi, he had to prove to us. He had to prove that he can play this year. You know, for him passing the physical today was nothing but a plus. And by him doing that, now we'll get a chance to see. So his max contract, which he would have got at San Antonio, that tells something about the man. He's almost truly, I'm going to give him the name like some people have been sharing today, the quiet assassin. And I think he's so quiet that he don't have to talk. He's just going to let his work speak for him. So I think it's going to be good for him getting back in the game because he only played like 8 or 9 games last year. So to get back and go play with Toronto may prepare them to be better than they was last year, and he may not. But he'll get that year where everybody can see that he's healthy, and next year he can get to the Lakers. Now, the biggest concern I have, and Jermaine brought it up a few seconds ago, about whether he'll be at the Lakers. Will it be the same situation like with Paul George, where Paul George decided to stay in OKC? Will it be that kind of situation? I don't think he'll stay in Toronto talking about Kawhi Leonard, but I do think he'll go to L.A. Now, the question whether he's going to be with the Clippers or he's going to be with the Lakers. Is he just satisfied and did all that this year? And I want y'all to respond. Do you think all he did this year by saying he no longer want to play for the Spurs to go, even though being traded, he's not exiled from this country, but he ain't in this country no more, exiled into Canada to go and play for the Lakers? I mean, play for the Clippers. Is this all for the Clippers? Could he just stay in San Antonio and then went on to the Clippers? What do y'all think about that? With his move, will this propel him next year to go to the Clippers or go to the Lakers? What do y'all think? Because he wanted to go to L.A. But is the Clippers the right choice it would be, or would it be getting to the Lakers with what he went through this year? Tell me what you think about that.
Jermaine, that was speaking here. I'm going to say this, Dr. Smith. Is only one team in L.A. that's relevant right now, and that is the Lakers. So I don't know anyone that wants to just play with the Clippers. Now, Kawhi might be different and might want to make a name for the Clippers and get a big name on them and make them a dominant force in the West. But I don't see it. I see him going to the Lakers. Honestly, if I'm going to go to the Clippers, if I'm him, I'm going to stay in the East with the Raptors. Those are my thoughts, Dr. Smith.
Makes so much sense what he just said. Why make that move? If he's going to do that, he needs to stay exactly where he is. The end game is the Lakers. The end game is the Lakers. That I've mentioned to you guys, the end game is the Lakers. So that's the way I see it. That's where he wants to be. And if he can make that happen, he's going to make it happen, Dr. Smith. Back to you.
And I agree with y'all 100% because all of this he went through, the scrutiny he went through the last month or so, to go and say, I'm going to the Clippers. Wow, man. I don't know if he's going to stay up in Toronto, but good gracious of life. Why go through this when you could have just went played a year with San Antonio? But the truth of the matter, nobody wants to accept this out of young player. And this is how our young players are going, and we're going to kind of share some thoughts on this. But our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Our young players are a little different from the players. The players of the millennials are a lot different from the players Generation X. Ones in the 30s and 40s. It's a little different. When he may not speak like everybody wants to speak, but he told everybody, and nobody really listening to him. I want to play for the Lakers. I'm not playing for San Antonio. And that was the message sent out. So I think the establishment got a little upset with him by actually, even if he didn't say it, somebody said it. I just don't see him going through all this and go play for the Clippers. I don't understand that. You've been scrutinized to the highest level because you what? You said you will no longer play for San Antonio. You want to go to the Lakers. I don't understand going through this. Now, he had no control where they send him, but he had some control at the end of this year to let everybody know what he's doing. Now, if it's true he wanted to go through all this and go to the Lakers, I don't see what the problem is. He go play in Toronto, beat his brother 1 year, then bam, he all of a sudden at the Lakers. So, you know, that's my thing. So that's what I'm missing with our pundits and our talking heads. We talking. They always talk about, you know, he can go to the Clippers. Why go through all this and go to the Clippers when you said the reason you didn't want to play this year for San Antonio was to go to the Lakers? Everybody said it was his injury. Everybody said this. Something came up today about Danny Green. Danny Green had a torn groin, and he was misdiagnosed by the the physicians in San Antonio. I don't know if he hid it. I don't know what it was, but he was misdiagnosed and saying that he should have probably got a second opinion. So that added a little bit to the injury situation. So we're looking at this, but just to kind of throw something out, and Darryl, as well as Trey, I want us to kind of talk about something was said about coaching the young players today. Why is it so difficult in some people's eyes to coach the young players today? Now, that's not on our law, but our show law, but why is it such a difficult task to coach the young players, and what do you have to do to be able to get things across to them, the young players, the players of the millennium, your teenagers now, your middle school kids? Go ahead on.
Darryl E., I'm not a coach, and I know Tremaine has plenty to say about it because he is, but I think the kids are distracted. I think they are totally distracted. I think, and I think any coach has to deal with the world versus the coach, because the kids are out there in the world, and it's not all of them. You can't put them all in the ball of wax, but I just see that there's so many distractions for these young kids that when we were coming up through school, there weren't as many as distractions. There wasn't even half of them. That they're out there now that encompass our kids. They grew up fast. And I keep going back to that. The mud ears ain't there no more in the house. It's just distraction after distraction after distraction. But I'm gonna let the King talk about this because now he knows this firsthand. Go ahead, Coach. Tremaine, are you there?
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Y'all hear me?
We have you.
Y'all got me. Okay.
we have you now. All right. Go ahead, old Tremaine.
Gotcha. As Dr. Smith and Darryl Lee just said, technology plays a main part in the kids these days. You can YouTube anything right now. I can YouTube how to shoot an effective jump shot right now, and they'll have somebody that's relevant teaching you how to shoot it. It's harder to get through to these kids today because of that sort. And you also have a money snatcher. Money snatchers are people that sit in good kids' pockets, and they try to steer them in the right direction. But the direction might not have you in the path of it. Now, I've seen on more than one occasions where kids are getting pulled out of relevant high schools, you know, relevant high schools that have traditional history, going to a private school that has no history. That's a new school. And I see it on more than one occasion. I've seen on more than one occasion where and kids can get pulled just because of his size. And it's a lot of things that go to the factor of it. But like you said, Darryl Lee, technology playing a big part of it, because you can YouTube and Google anything to do with a basketball game, any drill you want. So if you're a coach, you got to know yourself. Because if you don't, those guys will look yourself up in the computer and try to tell you the way it's supposed to work. So technology is the main part. It's not just the coaches that are learning. It's parents, it's kids, it's everyone. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Wow, and that's what we always wanted, where everybody that's a part of them, stakeholders, you know, parents and children and community would play a part in. But it's to the point where it's causing coaching to be adjusted. You know, I was listening to Nick Saban on College Football Live yesterday. Yesterday on ESPN or one of those channels, they were talking to him, asked a question. Said, how are these able to get these players to do what needs to be done to be successful? Yeah, you can go look at a video. You can go and do whatever you want to do. We know we have to come and be one step ahead of them. But another thing we have to do, we got to realize that that bulldog old type mentality of coaching no longer exists. Our co-host on the Monday Night Show, which is our millennial who's on this show as well, made a good statement about young people because she's a millennial coaching them. He said, your old grandma or granddaddy way of coaching don't work for these kids no more. And Nick Saban was sharing something on that other day, and he said, his success is, and you can agree, and y'all can, you can jump in when y'all ready to talk about this, is that you can't tell a student like they used to tell 30 years ago or 15 years, no. Because you know what? He's going to ask you why. That's going to be the next thing. You know, old famous thing was with sports, the player come up to you, coach, can I do this? You said no. Why? Then you first thing coming out about the grandma, grandfather, and old time way is because N-O means no. But the young people now, as Nick says, is not responding that way. When they come and ask him something or he wants them to do something, he has to explain, this is going to make you better so you can reach the ultimate goal that you come here to this university or play this sports for. You have to add that in there. A no answer will no longer work with young people now. And that's one of the things that's causing us to kind of adjust our coaching and adjust our philosophy dealing with these young people now, because a lot of things that we were raised on do not exist a lot in a lot of homes now or a lot of areas. And your successful coaches are the ones who adjust. You know, they're just like they use Kawhi Leonard. And I'm going to kind of close my thoughts off and let the team talk about it. But Kawhi Leonard, it's unusual for San Antonio's first organization to have somebody that wasn't quiet and wasn't saying go along with it. It's been so good for so long. Tim Duncan, David Robinson, it was, nobody said nothing. It was a way of life. But Kawhi is the first one, and he is a millennial now, to say, I don't want to play for y'all no more. Y'all ain't as good as y'all think y'all is. You see what I'm saying? That's a different kind of attitude of our athletes. So now you got to get with these young players and kind of address some of the things that's going on. You can't coach like you coached the old 20, 30-year-old teams long ago. You can't do it. You can't come in there and put the feet down and even have a player like and Coach Edwards will share this with you, and he always shared. You know, a player come out there, you know, he might be, you know, damage his arm or broke his arm. And he tells me to put a dirt on it and make it go. That don't work no more. You got to have an explanation now. You got to be able to explain what you should have always been. But the thing about it, we had a mentality, we can have a concussion as long as we know what our name was, we go out there and play. But those are some of the things that occur. Just share your thoughts, team, how you think about the young people and how to coach them today. And like I said, Coach Smith shared about the old grandma way and grandfather way don't work no more with them. You got to show that you care, and once you show that you care, they will care then. And Coach Elvis, I'm gonna kind of point at you because I know you're coaching young people who were born 12 years ago. You know what I'm saying, Coach Elvis?
Dr. Smith, I'm here. I agree totally with you right there. Like you said, I grew up in a time where, you know, bulldog coaching was the thing, and we responded to that. We didn't have an answer why. But like you said, Dr. Smith, dealing with kids now, you have to explain to them why, and you have to reach them. You can't just coach. Players are playing with you because they like you. Because if they don't like you, Dr. Smith, they will find somewhere else to go. Now, if you're the light coach, they will find their way to you. I mean, and that's typical. Nick Saban is that point, and he wins. That's a big key, too. You got to win. They have to like you, and you got to win. With the generation of coaches now, like you said, Dr. Smith, it is all about relationships with the players and their parents. If you have a great relationship with the players and parents, you usually will have a good team. Coaches that are, you know, getting into it with players, getting into it with parents, They usually don't go far. They usually are fired, or they usually let go. One of the things. Another thing. And you know, I hear this a lot because I work on the north side of Huntsville, and you know, it's a different type kid in the north side of Huntsville than it is in South Huntsville. The kids in North Huntsville need someone to reach them by acting like them. No, I disagree with that totally. I feel like going into a Title I school, I don't feel like you have to act like them to reach that kid. Another thing, I sit up here, I'm going to push this off on this, and it's a good watch for you. Last Chance U has this season 3 up right now, and they have a white guy, white coach on the show named Jason Brown. Jason Brown is a white guy from Compton. He was raised by black people. So everything he says to the kids is directed toward his background, if y'all know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to just be straight, and I was born in a, I grew up playing in a system where coaches said what they wanted to say to you, but the personalization that he has with the players, the way he talks to them, I can't play with him. If you call me a M&F-er every time we turn around, I can't play for you because that's not personable. You can't talk to kids that way. You don't want nobody talking to your kid that way. You don't want nobody talking to your daughter that way. And that's just me. And you know, I look at that all the time when people say they need a bulldog coach that's gonna get in them and do what they're supposed to do. No, if you're doing your job, the kids will respond to you. I don't think you have to turn the corner and act like them to get your point across to them. I think you should act like them to an extent, but you can't go all the way in with that. That's all I got, Dr. Stone.
Exactly. And that's one of the things you have to keep in mind that, you know, when you become an adult, you have to act like an adult. You know, I watch Dabo Sweeney dance a little bit, and the kids love him. Slide and board at Clemson, they love him. They don't love him because he got a sliding board. They love him because he's a fan. They love him because they know he cares. So they go out and play hard for him. So this is a new time with our young people, and we have to be ready to help them. We not only just on the field, but in our community. But we're talking about sports tonight. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Got several people on the line. All you got to do is press 1, and I identify the last 4 digits of your social. Last 4 digits of your telephone number, and then ask you to identify yourself and your location. I'm talking about social security number. You know, you got it. Let me get the last 4 digits, and I'm getting a little bit off track with that. All right, let's look at the Lakers now. How should Luke Walton coach LeBron? Team, let me hear your thoughts on that. How should Luke Walton coach LeBron?
Daryl E.
Okay.
Let me say this, Ken. You know I'm going to be short. So listen. Now, chemistry is everything when it comes to coaching. You just said that yourself. But this is a whole different caliber of coaching when you're talking coaching millionaires. I call them millionaires on a basketball court. LeBron is a special millionaire because LeBron has a head of steam and LeBron is legendary. But you have, in my mind, you have to go at LeBron and you have to be yourself with LeBron because the rest of the team is watching you. So he just simply has to coach LeBron. But I know Trey, the King, is going to give me some insight. Take it away, Trey.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, old King.
Dr. Smith, D.R.E., Trey that was here talking. I've been waiting on this topic the whole night. If y'all know a superstar in the NBA, it's not much coaching is going to be done. Superstars in the NBA usually coach the team for the coach. So with that said, LeBron James will make Walton look good this year, because the team is being built by what LeBron James said. It's not being, as y'all know, it's not being built by what Luke Walton said. It's being built by what LeBron James is saying. Now, here's another thing. I'm going to give y'all a little insight. I'm a Lakers fan. If you didn't watch last year, the four times the Lakers played the Warriors, they were a close game. I'm telling you right now. LeBron James is in good shape this year. People talk, doing a lot of talking, but the Warriors struggled with the Lakers without LeBron James. They struggled with it. They were a matchup problem. Lakers were a matchup problem for the Warriors. Listen to me, guys. I'm telling y'all, this team LeBron James is building is going to be – they're going to make a run for the money. I'm telling y'all right now. You heard it from Tremaine Edwards on Blog Talk Sports. The Lakers will make a run for this title. The Lakers will make a run right here. Last year, the point title, I'm talking about the Lakers had the Warriors in each of the games, in all four of the games. They just got away at the end. And I want y'all, I'm going to challenge my team members tonight. I want y'all to look at that tonight and see what I'm talking about. The Lakers had them, but all it took was a mega weapon. I say that all the time. The mega weapon is here. The Lakers are back. I'm telling y'all right now, LeBron James will lead the Lakers to a championship. I'm not going to put a limit on how many, but he will get a chip. Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
All right, listen, I'm going to say this. Hold on, Doc. Hold on, Doc. I'm going to say this. Listen, if Tremaine said it, you better bet your money.
Put your money on it, baby. Put your money on it.
Hey, you better put your money on because I ain't heard it be wrong yet, and it makes sense. And I should have thought about that actually because several months ago, Tremaine said that you cannot coach LeBron James, and he said that he said LeBron James really is a coach, and he said that months ago. And it makes sense now. It brings it to my mind that the king is right. So for all you listeners out there, bet with what Trey says and bet six over on the points and make your money. Go ahead, Doc.
Yes, sir. I love it. Since Tremaine brought it up, we're going to take a minute to talk about how the Lakers being put together at this time. A lot of people saying a lot of things that, you know, they all understand the move that's being made now. LeBron played the Warriors for the last 4 years in the championship game. LeBron know how to play the Warriors. So who would not be the best expert to put a team together when you can pick whoever you need to pick to play against that team? First of all, everybody knows from the start, the Warriors are finesse. They don't like contact. They don't like to be bumped. And look at the people he had brought in. Now, last year you had a bunch of young players, which are still there, with an addition of one or two other young players in the draft. But you take those young players who played them, you know, the second best high scoring team in the NBA, running right behind the Warriors was the Lakers. Now you put on the man of the last 15 years, the team. And the king just talked about the king. On this team, but the other people brought in. I saw the move being made, and I'm saying, okay, Rondo, okay, you want somebody physical to get up in who face? Stephen Curry. I want Lance Stevens get up in who face? Kevin Durant. I want Caldwell Pope. I want him to do what? To get over there on the other boy. What's his name? Klay Thompson. And then you got McGee. He can bump up with the other boy in there. So who going to check LeBron when this lineup get out there? And then when you're bringing in Bradley Eaton, Kyle Kuzma, man, this team has been put up and put together. So we're going to kind of see how it's going to go. And we with our team, Miller, we with the king. The king said, put your money on that. Put your money on that. Let's put your money on it. Because the Lakers are going to make a run. Look good, see, but they got to go run through this team, the Warriors. What do you think about Boogie Cousins being added to the roster of the Warriors? Now they got five All-Stars one a little lame right now, but five all-stars. Tell me what you think about Boogie Cousins being added to the Warriors.
Daryl E. here. Listen, it's a power move for the Warriors. No doubt about it. It's a power move. And you're right, one is lame. The Warriors are a team to be feared, a team to never take lightly, and the Warriors have proved themselves. But here's the deal. I love the Warriors. I think the Warriors are going to be a good team, and you're right, the Lakers got to go through the Warriors. But here's the deal. There's the dynasty has been built. Remember the seven-peat from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what happened. So you can go get all you want to right now, but Boogie and Boogie's shoes ain't going to even matter. What's going to matter is when the Lakers – the trainer said it. It's over with. We might as well cut the top four off now. Trainer said it. It's done. So it's a good move for the Warriors. It's a power move for the Warriors, but it ain't powerful enough. That's all I got to say about it.
All right, Keith. Yes, sir.
Like you said, Dr. Smith, you got five all-stars with one ball, Dr. Smith. Boogie Cousin comes in, and he will be at least the third or fourth option with these guys out here. He will not score 20-plus a game, which is his average, 20 and 11, 20 and 12. He will get nowhere near that this year. He'll be lucky to get 10 and 8. He'll be lucky. But you're coming in a system where you're going to be the fourth option. He's going to be in trouble this year. But like he said, Dr. Smith, this is not a year for him to put up points like that. It's a year for him to bounce back. He's trying to win a chip and get established and just get a few runs in. You know how people say, I just need to get a few runs under my belt. But what other way to do it than play with the best team in the NBA? I mean, I would have took that too. Because, you know, a lot of people are not talking about it, but New Orleans took the offer off the table. Everyone took the offer off the table. You know, they got to see how Boogie's going to move after this Achilles injury. So he made the best move available. I would have made it too. But Boogie has a lot of things to prove. He got to prove that he's going to come back and he's going to recover 100%. That's it.
Awesome. Okay. Call in number is 347-857-4192. Like I said, a lot of people's on the line. Just push that number 1, and then we're going to identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number, and then we're going to ask you to identify yourself and your location. All right, let's look at some college football. And one of the questions that statements that we put on there that we want to discuss is, what should be Alabama plan on how they're going to use Tua and Jalen in 2018? What should be their plans? As coaches, what do you think? You got both of them. Jalen said he ain't going nowhere, so he's going to be there. How should you use those two players on that team? Because both of them got their strengths and both of them have a weakness. Whether it's not playing enough, whether it's not able to be accurate with the ball, they have their strength and their weakness. How would you use those two players? Let me hear what you have to say, team. How would you use those two players, and how should Alabama use them?
Dr. Smith, this is Tremaine Hill speaking. Nick Saban will use both quarterbacks effectively. I'm going to tell you one thing that's helping Alabama this year, the schedule strength. We have one of the weakest schedules that are in the college football right now. They're saying our biggest game is going to be Mississippi State as of right now. And that's in week 10 or 11. That's late, real late in the game. Right now, any quarterback will look good going through that first grit, those first 9 games. Any quarterback will look good. But Nick Saban will come with a scheme to effectively play both of them. I think we're going to have a two-headed monster this year, and it will be effective. The two-headed monster will be effective. Jalen Hurts told you when it was today that he's not going anywhere. He will be at Alabama. Even if he doesn't start, he will stay at Alabama. They've been putting Tua on top of the Heisman watch and top players of the year, but it's going to be a two-headed monster. It's going to be a two-headed monster. I mean, we've seen it done before with the Florida Tebow days. Tebow and Lease, that's his name, Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
It has been done. I mean, you can know what's coming and still can't stop it. And like I said, it's not much. If Jalen Hurts develops his arm, I think he will be okay. He will be okay, Dr. Smith. It's just development with him. Jalen Hurts isn't still at the same level he was when he came in. I've seen no improvement in his throwing arm. Now, as far as the will of the team, he will. It's Jalen Hurts' team. Now, if we need a gunslinger, we know we can pull this guy from the bench. He's going to throw it. He's going to throw it away. He's going to throw it to the other team. He's going to throw it. That's point blank. Sometimes that's all you need in some spurts of the game. But the quarterback controversy, I don't think it will be a controversy in a minute, because you would not be able to tell, because we're not playing any team that will test them. I don't think any team will test Alabama until the week of Mississippi State. That schedule is treacherous, man. And if Alabama loses a game in the midst of those first 8-9 weeks, we are in trouble. But being that we only have 3 starters coming back on defense, I still see them blowing out at least 7 or 8 of them teams that we opening up with. That schedule is treacherous, Dr. Smith. It's weak, very weak. That's all I got, Dr. Smith.
Daryl E. here. So here you go. First of all, he's right. You know, I was looking at the schedule the other day going, okay, Alabama ain't playing nobody till game 10. Well, okay. So the Jalen Hurts and the Tua deal. Now, what I've been understanding is they have spent the last 6 months trying to get Hurts a better arm. That's what I've been reading, that they have been focusing on him having a better arm to be a two-dimensional, three-dimensional quarterback that can scramble well, that can run well, and throw the ball as well. Tua, like he said, is the man to come in and sling that ball. But they've also been developing Tua with leg strength, so which is a good thing for him. So the two-headed monster, like you said, is going to be alive and well. But here's the dilemma that I have. They're going to be looking for this thing, one to run and one to throw. Maybe, just maybe, you're going to see some differentiation this year that is going to give you some insight to Alabama. I do believe that Alabama has what it takes to go all the way. You better be looking out for Georgia this year. Keep Georgia on your radar. Now, Tua won't start. I don't believe that Tua will start. I believe that Jalen Hurts will start this year. And I believe there will be some opportunities for Jalen to sit out and Tua to really play off the entire quarter based on the schedule we got to give them both – to get them ready for the big games at the end of the year. And that's kind of where I am with that. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And both of y'all have some outstanding points in regards to that. And we do say the 10th game. And one thing that's going to help that did not help last year, and I just want to throw that out to you, but the call-in number is 347-857-4192. We want you to join in this conversation. And the thing I want to throw out is that's where that red shirt rule would have helped Alabama last year, that will help them this year. Because when they were getting those linebackers to help, hurt, the coach didn't feel comfortable enough to put those kids in there and after one game lose their redshirt year. So now, and he even stated it today, that he's comfortable enough with playing these other linebackers in there so they can get four games. Four games mean a whole lot to a young player coming in there. So that's going to be even different when it gets to the 10th game. I don't really see the 10th game being, and I do see that game, that 12th game being the one which is against Auburn. Because I'm not going to take nothing away from Auburn. Have a heck of a defense, and their defense is based on their linemen. Their defensive linemen got four of their front eight is, front seven is tough. But the point is, I kind of see it that way. So we'll kind of see how that works. And I truly agree that Jalen is your leader. Nick Saban is
comfortable
with people not put. Yes. Oh, I'm glad you. Go ahead on there.
I want to intercede and interject one thing. That's completely off the wild here. But does anybody know who's going to be the next coach of Alabama? Does anybody? Because it seems like I'm the only person that knows who's going to be able to fill the shoes of Nick Saban. Trey, Dr. Smith, you got a guess on it?
Everybody thinks Dabo Swinney. So I'm going to leave it right there.
Dabo. And that is the only person that can feel those shoes. The only person that can feel the shoes of Nick Saban is going to be Dabo Swinney. Nick Saban said something 3 weeks ago, and I thought it was real interesting. He was riding in a car. They had the video running. And then the guy said, man, you work relentlessly. You work tirelessly. He said, it seems like you never sleep. And he said, and the guy when he was riding with said, Don't you ever get tired? And you know what Nick said? Tired of what?
Uh-huh.
Winning? and the video froze right there. And I said to myself, that is a Dabo Swinney moment right there. Because Dabo is just as strong as Nick Saban when it comes to the response to a question and ever so relentless about the game and what it is, and it's about winning. And I'm sorry to take you off your game, Dr. Smith, but I just had to throw that in there. Go back to you, Dr. Smith.
Great point that was brought up, but I just kind of see it that way. That 12th game is going to be a big challenge. Now, we said something about Georgia. Who should be the starter? We said Georgia. It should be Jake Fromm. Is it possible, just like what happened to Jake Fromm, could happen to me with him being able to start, that Justin Field would get that same opportunity? Share your thoughts on that. It will take about 2 minutes to share thoughts on Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. Is it possible that he can come in just like Fromm did and be successful? Tell me what you think, team.
I don't get jumping over like quick about this morning. It's possible when you're breaking your hand on fishing trips. I know it's totally possible. if Fromm comes back with any kind of injury, that guy will take his spot, Dr. Smith. No. I mean, I set up and watch his kid. You're not missing it. But as you watch Jake Fromm, what is he giving you, Dr. Smith? He's a game manager. He's a game manager. As you see, Georgia is built exactly like Alabama. Exactly. Kirby, he's found the remedy. He's found the recipe for success. He's going to get a strong defense. And going to get a quarterback that's going to take care of the ball. Fromm is as regular as it comes. He just doesn't turn the ball over, point blank. With Fields, he will be more of a threat, point blank. He will be more of a threat. But Fromm, he controls his own destiny. Let him keep going out there breaking his hand on fishing trips. He'll be in that second spot, Dr. Smith.
And touche. The reality is, it's just what Trey said. He cannot afford anymore, because he has somebody on the sideline that will strip him of his glory immediately. And it's good that he has it, as Trey said. He's more of a threat by having this guy on the sideline that if they pull him out of this game, somebody can still control and maneuver that ball. So Georgia is a dual threat in the quarterback position, no doubt about that. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. I'm telling you now, we just This is going to be exciting in 2018. College football is going to be off the chain. We're looking at that first game, historical black college and university. You have the Alabama State University versus Tuskegee over there at ASU Stadium, and we look for it to be an awesome game. The preseason poll came out, and it shows that the top four teams of the SWAC from the West, you have Grambling and you have Southern, and the East you have Alcorn and Alabama State. So we're looking to see some excitement, but we're not going to say the other team's not going to make power move. I think that Alabama A&M is going to surprise some people, as well as Arkansas Pine Bluff. Going to kind of surprise some people. So the SWAC is going to be on this year. They're going to be broadcasted on live, and I told you about previously where they're going to be doing some live broadcasting throughout the season. We're going to work toward trying to get set up so we can do some live broadcasting as well. So we're really excited about that. But the last thing we're going to talk about, and we're going to wrap the show up, Tiger Woods. Tell me about Tiger Woods. Now, Tiger Woods made a great showing last weekend. But if he does not continue to make a great showing, will he hurt his legacy? He's not going to hurt his pocket. He hurt his pocket. But when he hurt his legacy, and we know how strong he was with all sometimes not even making a cut or either next to last finish, 29th and 28th. It was the best finish. It's tied for six. Tell me what y'all think about Tiger Woods.
Let me get in here, Barry.
I'm gonna slide in. I'm gonna be quick. I'm gonna do your thoughts on this. Like you said, Dr. Smith, Tiger Woods. If he did, like you said, if he didn't perform the way he did, he would affect his legacy. Because when you think of Tiger Woods was the Michael Jordan of golf at one point. When he doesn't perform up to par, they start relating everything back to the turmoil he had with his wife. Everything reflects back to that. That was his downfall. That's how everyone thinks. But I just think it golf is a game that you're going to have your ups and downs. You're hot or you're not. That's point blank. Tiger Woods peaked at the right time. He was a unique player. He was strong in everyone. We didn't see any golf players that could bench press 315 pounds. We didn't see that. Tiger Woods was the Michael Jordan of golf, like I said. But when he doesn't perform up to par, it's time for him to go. I'm going to say that. Go ahead, Darryl.
Well, you took the words out of my mouth, Trey. The reality is if he's back in the game, Tiger Woods has to be at the very top of the pinnacle this time, because there ain't no more left for Tiger Woods. I mean, his body, they'd have transformed his body for the last time to get back out there. It's back in all these issues that he had. And Trey is right. If he cannot pull out the success, then he's going to be a fallen soldier, a has-been that could never bring it back. And that's just how they're going to paint that young man, one that could never come back to his original self. So go Tiger, win Tiger, because if you don't, you'll pay a healthy price.
Exactly. And we are here. We want you to do well, but sometimes when we get to be like 42 or 43 years old in a sport, for example, golf, I know they can play for their 70 or 80, got the seniors, but you get to the point that you just don't have that like you really used to have and the impact you used to have. But being there, Tiger Woods being there, is an impact. All right, here we go, guys. We're coming up with football season in 37 days. And I want everybody just to kind of get ready to just get crunk, because it's going to be one of those type of years. And in 37 days, we're going to have that first kickoff, and everybody's excited. As a matter of fact, here in Montgomery on the 25th of August, you're going to have over in Crampton Bowl, you have this Camellia Bowl, and you have going to have an outstanding game between Jacksonville State University and North Carolina A&T. This will be the first time when you got a historical black college, and that's what we're all about now. Come support North Carolina A&T against Jacksonville State in Crampton Bowl on the 25th, which is that first kickoff classic to assist called the Camellia Bowl. It's related to that area. Join us. Join everybody here in Montgomery for that first kickoff, and there are other games that are kicking out throughout the country, but we're getting ready. It's 37 days, and next week you're talking about 30 days, And, you know, they're in fall camp next week on the 1st and 2nd. Get ready to get crunk up. So I just want y'all to be ready for an outstanding season. We want you to call in and tell about your high school, about your middle school athletics, as well as your historical black college and university, your favorite team. It's time to wrap it up, team. Share your thoughts as we wrap it up. And let everybody know what you need for them to know. We'll get ready to get out of here and get with this thing on next week. Go ahead on.
Daryl E., three words, roll damn tide. Peace.
All right, then. All right, D. All right, D. Great old Trey.
All right. Take y'all in for the night. Roll tide, baby. getting excited about Alabama A&M, about to make their first initial game. They're playing Miles College, first home game in Huntsville, Alabama, Labor Day weekend, baby. It'll be a test for Coach Maynard, baby. You know, it might seem small, but it's big for us up here on the hill, baby. We're going through a lot up here on this hill, baby.
And that's all right. And we want to have much success. Both of those schools, historical black colleges in Alabama, have much success. We want North Carolina A&T to have success on that first weekend of the 25th of August. And everybody else, we want you to let us know about your team. So we want you to have some success this year. And we're going to say we inherit the Roll Tide. We're going to say go Hornets and Roll Tide, you know. And we're going to just say make it happen. Get ready for an exciting year that's coming up. Talking Sports Plus is ready to share this through this vehicle, all the news, all the hottest topics dealing with sport. So we look forward to having you here each and every Wednesday at the same time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And on Friday, we have Ballin' with the Doc, and we'll come on at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, and I am the host for that show, and we're going to talk about the hottest topics that went on this week, something we may not touch on in this phase of it through Talking Sports Plus, but we'll come back and share those topics on Friday at 4 o'clock. So you have an awesome night. All of the team was not here tonight. Our millennium, Nicole Smith, she was doing some grinding tonight, so she's getting ready to go off to college. She's about to go off to grad school at Alabama A&M. I do want to say that, but on the 4th, and everybody's invited to come over to Brand's Wing in Montgomery, Alabama, 3133 Bell Road, and celebrate milestone with Coach Lauren. She has a gift register with Bath & Beyond as well as Target. And also Coach Tony Stallworth, our other co-host. He's retired after 30-plus years in public education. And myself, I got a few milestones I like to share with everybody. So we want you to come out and join us. The time is 6 o'clock on August the 4th. This will be next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday at Brand's Wing in Montgomery, Alabama. Have an awesome night. And we'll talk with you on Friday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time, Balling with the Coach. But next week, we'll be right back here with some hottest topics on Wonderful Wednesday. And like the old saying, and I'm going to let my co-host that always said, and I'm going to have to go and get him, and I'm going to have to do each one of them and their slogan to make sure they can say, take the night and don't let the night take you. That's Coach Tony Stallworth. I'm going to say hashtag keep on grinding. And hashtag the Smith Way. So have a wonderful night, and we will be talking with you on Friday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. Last thing I want to say, I have my book. I did a retake of my book. I went out and made a couple changes to it on the pages, Education, what Happened to the Passion. And you can get a copy of $15. Just email me at LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. Have a wonderful night, and we're going to end this thing up with something that music that we do not have the rights for, but we like playing good music. We like to share things with you, let you know that we're here, and we love you supporting us. And then one of the things I always tell everybody, we love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it. So we're going to do a little Shirley Murdoch, and that's pretty much I kind of back off Shirley, and we're going to say with Al Green, we're going to go back there. Hey, come on for the good time. Don't have the right to do you. I want you to make sure you understand that. But join us on next Wednesday night at 85:57 time, as well as on this Friday at 4 o'clock, Ballin' with the Coach. At Blog Talk Radio, Instagram, and Facebook. Have an awesome night. We love you. There ain't nothing you can do about it.
Don't look so sad. I know it's over. But life goes on. And this world keeps on turning. Let's just be glad we had this time to spend together. There is no need to watch the bridges that will burn. Lay your head on my pillow, sweet baby. Hold your warm ancient and the raindrops blow softly against my window. Hey, all late at night.
Hey,
believe you love me.
Hey,
one more time. I'll get along, and I'm sure you'll find another. But baby, please remember, I'll be here. I'm gonna stay right here. If you should ever find you need me, yeah. Don't say a word about tomorrow or forever and ever and ever and ever. There'll be time enough for severance when you leave. For the good time. Oh, yeah. For the good time. Lay your head.
Lay your head.
Oh. One time, girl.
One time.
Oh, hold your
no. Wall. And in the body.
Close to my heart. Oh, baby. Won't you hear that whisper? Hear that whisper? Oh, the raindrop. Oh, the raindrop. Oh, it's softly. Oh,
baby, leave you love me one more time. What a good time. What a good time.
Here's what you ought to do.